Join the conversation.
You're with Cape Talk.
The Director of Social Cohesion and Equity in Education at the National Department of Basic Education, Lico Botterman, joins me now. Lico, a very good afternoon to you. I thank you for your time.
Good afternoon to your listeners as well. Thank you so much for having me.
Difficult issue, one that has a degree of controversy around it all around the world. All education systems are wrestling with this. What is your starting point in what you're trying to do as a department here?
Yeah, and you're quite correct. It is quite a difficult issue. But as a Department of Basic Education, we never presumed that it would be a difficult issue, precisely because we've got a constitution and a constitutional mandate that supports us in ensuring that there's a space for everybody in this country, particularly those that were previously marginalized. But it seems that there is quite a lot of controversy around these issues, and we are now taking our time and delaying our finalization of guidelines that will allow us to ensure that vulnerable marginalized groups also do have space and they have got access to the inalienable right to education. So our starting point really is the Constitution, but then secondary to that is ensuring that children, no matter who they are, do not get compromised when it comes to accessing their right to education.
The danger, as a couple of people pointed out, is that in attempting to prevent them being marginalized, to protect them from privilege, if we overcook this, we could make them more a target, more distinctive, and that it could raise issues that are unintended with the good intentions. So that's a reason you have to progress very carefully.
Well, I would agree, to a certain extent with that notion. And I think that's why what we have done was to reach out to as many internal stakeholders as possible. But also noting that these are regulations. But you know what we have done as the basic education sector? We have also then subjected regulations for public comment, something that is unusual, because a document that you take out for public comment is only a policy document. The minister has got a right at any given point to release guidelines for any area of work. But because of the realization of the very same issue that you're raising, we thought it is important for us to do things unusually this time, just so that we ensure that we build in the time and the space for proper consultation and proper engagement on this matter to close those gaps. But on the other hand, I actually think that, it would be actually for a very long time, we have become silent, not just as the basic education sector, but also as society. And day in and day out, we have seen the victimization, discrimination, and the prejudice and related intolerances that is, enacted against these very marginalized groups. And so in the spirit of social cohesion and nation building, it is important for us to bring these issues to the foreground so that we're able to articulate them publicly on a public discourse, and then we can agree on what we're doing. In fact, as the basic education sector, as we put out these guidelines that we are developing, we are making it very clear that we don't have the answers. And the reason why we're putting it out there, we are asking the country, what should we do so that no child is traumatized, so that no child continues to commit suicide because they feel like they are a misfit or they are rejected in a school community? What should we do? What should we do about facilities? What should we do about curriculum? What should we do about the co-curricular spaces? What should we do about the body as a space of existence for children, particularly those who are gender non-conforming? We're asking these questions, and we're saying that South Africans need to give us some guide on what we need to do.
Is the ambition, as a document I have in front of me states, for there to be no gender distinction in schools? Is that a sort of stated ambition?
Well, not necessarily as a stated ambition, but as an option, as a matter for consideration. We are saying that because we don't have the answers and we're putting on the table something that says, what should we do? Is there value in making schools gender neutral to accommodate these children? Or is there an alternative to gender neutrality or gender non-conformity or gender non-binary ways of working and ways of living in school environments? So at the moment, there aren't any stern prepositions in that document. It's just written for the sake of guiding the discussion.
We're talking about school uniforms, pronouns, forms of address, learning activities, facilities, that would include bathrooms, and sporting activities. There's a vast range of potential controversy in many of those issues.
Absolutely. And we, at first, we didn't think there would be, but I think ever since the document you have was leaked and given to other people, and we know that now it is in the public hands, and there's nothing we can do to retract it. But yes, these are all the issues. So it's not just an issue about bathrooms. And I like your intro to this discussion, because you said yourself that this is not just about bathrooms, but it is all about, it is about all of those issues that you have raised. And these are the issues that are being proposed for considerations. When we engage with the document, when it is finally officially in the hands of the public, we really want to ask the public to give us non-emotive or non-emotional direction and suggestions about what we want to do, because we want to make sure that schools remain, community spaces that observe constitutionalism.
You mentioned there non-emotive submissions. The Freedom Front Plus allege you are excluding faith-based groups and those that are opposed on some more fundamental grounds to some of these issues. You have ruled them out of your consultation. Is that fair? And is that what you mean by emotive objections?
No, in fact, we have been engaging with the Honourable Member on a number of occasions. I think the past 4 weeks we've been responding to parliamentary questions raised by the Honourable Member. And I don't think it's fair, and I don't think it's true that we have excluded religious groupings. As a result, already we have a planned stakeholder engagement with religious, traditional, and thought leaders in the space. Already we are talking to organizations that are pro-family, even 4SA, the South African Council of Churches, the Interfaith Council in this country. We have started those conversations with all of those individual organizations. I guess what we can say to the Honorable is that if there's anyone else that they feel we should engage, who feel they are not engaged, please, they must just raise their hand so that we can also engage them, because there is no intention to exclude anybody here. In fact, we love the voice of the religious groupings in this country, because they will tend to balance how far we can go with the guidelines.
Look, inevitably, the response I'm getting on the WhatsApp line is around bathrooms. It does seem to be the litmus test. What is your thinking at the moment? What is the department's proposal? What should schools do? Should they have a gender-specific bathroom? Should they have three bathrooms, male, female, optional? Should there be single-sex bathrooms? What's your thinking on this? I know it's not the only issue, but it is the issue that attracts a lot of attention.
Absolutely, absolutely. And as a department, we're saying that there are different options that we can consider. And we want the members of the public to really guide us on this. In different parts of the world, we have seen gender-neutral toilets being introduced in schools. And in fact, some of the independent schools in South Africa have been progressive in this. There are quite a few of them, even public schools, even in the Western Cape, there are some schools that have already introduced gender-neutral schools. But that's not what we are saying at the moment as the Department of Basic Education. We're simply saying that we have seen good practice where they have introduced gender-neutral toilets. The second option is that in other spaces where there is luxury of space and time and infrastructure and resources. We've seen them actually inserting an additional toilet that is gender neutral on top of the single-sex toilets. And in some parts of the world, we have seen a very good practice where there is a child who is gender non-conforming, which happens very rarely in our schools, if you ask me, really. So where there is a child who is gender non-conforming, there has been a very good community engagement, a parent-child-teacher engagement, where they really find out with the child which toilet they prefer to use, and then they choose the toilet that they prefer to use. Of course, once there has been a proper consultation and engagement with the entire school community. In certain instances, we've seen even schools where they actually opt for these children to use staff room toilets rather than learner toilets to try and accommodate their needs. So there are different options that have been placed on the table, and we're considering those options. And I think by the end of the consultation, we'll come up with an idea of how to deal with the issue of toilets.
Are we too far ahead of ourselves? Are we being indulgent here in dealing with this issue when there are many schools across the country that don't even have any toilets? That we have parts of the education system that are barely functioning, and we're focusing on this constitutional issue. What's your response to that? The department is in the wrong space. It should be getting the nuts and bolts right before it deals with this sort of issue.
I think it is disingenuous of us as South Africans to think like that, because the one does not replace the other, because we do have a constitutional crisis here of prejudice, discrimination, and intolerance against children of diverse sexual orientations and gender identities. And as the Basic Education Department, whilst we are dealing with the issue of ablution facilities and toilets that are improper in different communities, when these issues are brought to our attention, it doesn't mean then that we need to push them back because we are dealing with infrastructural issues. So we need to be very careful that we don't send out a message that says that we have let go of the infrastructure and safe toilets in schools, and we're focusing on gender-neutral toilets, because that's not true. The fact of the matter is that all of these issues are equally important, and they have their own space and in the various portfolios of the basic education sector to deal with these issues.
Lika, where can people, I've had a WhatsApp asking, where can I access this document? Is it available for public view now that you know it is in the public domain?
Look, for me, I was just acknowledging that we are aware as the Department of Basic Education that it is in the hands of the public, but officially we have not yet released
okay.
it.
Okay, so it's not available. It's not available on official website as
yes,
yet.
We are going to make it available by the end of January, so that by the end of March we can hopefully conclude the process.
Lika Botterman, I really appreciate your time. Director of Social Cohesion and Equity in Education at the Department of Basic Education.